This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. A few weeks ago, voters in Washington state approved a new state law legalizing marriage between people of the same sex. The campaign in favor had one unlikely and very vocal local supporter, the Seattle rapper known as Macklemore, who is straight and who's a somewhat unlikely rapper as well, I guess, since he's white. Macklemore wrote a beautiful song called Same Love, a ballad about gay marriage. And the Same Love video has been watched more than 7 million times on YouTube, more hits than there are people in the state of Washington.
But those that like the same sex have the characteristics. The right-wing conservatives think it's a decision, and you can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predisposition, playing God. Oh nah, here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know. God loves all his children. It's somehow forgotten, but we paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago. I don't know.
Same Love is on Macklemore's new album, The Heist, made with producer Ryan Lewis. Macklemore and Ryan are on tour now. Ben Haggerty, a.k.a. Macklemore, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you for having me.
So, do you think Same Love, with its 7 million views, had any effect on this vote in Washington, which was a pretty close vote?
Yes, I do. To put an issue like same-sex marriage out there and to have a video that really gave a visual narration to it that connected with people on a personal, emotional level, I think that it did have
some... Make some people vote.
It made some people vote. You know, I don't want to take too much credit.
No, but the fact that you said yes makes me as if I already wasn't predisposed to like you rather than saying, well, no, I don't know. Good for you.
Thank you.
For owning a little bit of it.
We were aware of it. We knew it was going to be a tight race.
Yeah.
And it was an important issue for me personally. And to watch the people's reaction, people whose lives were affected by the song, personal testimonies and emails that we were getting, I would be, almost too humble to downplay
right.
some of the power in the record.
Rappers have, for the last 30 years, not been known for endorsing gayness in their lyrics,
shall we say. I don't know ever.
Right. So at what point did you decide, I need to do this?
I watched so many records receive critical acclaim that were very derogatory to homosexuals. That and misogyny are still kind of the two very acceptable means of oppression in terms of hip-hop culture. And it's 2012. There needs to be some accountability. I think that as a society, we are evolving, and I think that hip-hop has always been a representation of what's going on in the world right now. My mother sent me a newspaper article. A 13-year-old kid killed himself over being called faggot in school. And that was kind of it for me. I realized it was an epidemic. I realized that this needs to be addressed. I started writing it from the perspective of this gay bullied kid. I played it for my producer, Ryan Lewis, and he immediately was like, you know what, this is good, but this isn't your story, and you have a story. And my story is I'm from Seattle, Washington, a very liberal part of the city, Capitol Hill. And I also come from the Catholic Church and the hip-hop community, which stereotypically are very homophobic communities. So, and I have two gay uncles and a gay godfather and was raised around gay men. So I have kind of these polar opposite upbringings. And I kind of merge those all together and put it into a record.
There is no difference. Live on and be yourself. When I was at church, they taught me something else. If you preach hate at the service, those words aren't anointed. That holy water that you soak in has been poisoned. When everyone else is more comfortable remaining voiceless rather than fighting for humans that have had their rights stolen. I might not be the same, but that's not important. No freedom till we're equal. Damn right I support it.
Did you get any or much backlash, surprised reactions?
The surprising reaction was that there wasn't much backlash. If you read YouTube comments, you can see hateful comments all day long on any one of our videos, but particularly this one. But in terms of the hip-hop community, which I was immediately the most concerned about, how are my peers going to react to this? How are the people that I maybe want to collaborate with one day or hope to collaborate with, am I going to be exiled? And, you know, you put it on a scale. And I think that the minute that you're scared, the minute that you're afraid is the minute that you're standing up for the right issue.
Yeah. Another one of your songs, which is very different and huge fun. Last time I looked yesterday, it was approaching 20 million views on YouTube. This is Thrift Shop. I'ma take your grandpa style. I'ma take your grandpa style. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I have his hand-me-down? Velour jumpsuit and some house slippers. Dookie Brown leather jacket that I found. Dig it. They had a broken keyboard. I bought a broken keyboard. I bought a ski blanket. Then I bought a kneeboard. Hello, my ace man, my mellow. John Wayne ain't got nothing on my fringe game. Hello. I could take some pro wings, make them cool, sell those. The sneakerheads would be like, ah, he got the Velcro. Whoa. I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is awesome. Ow. I'm gonna pop some tags. That's a delightful song. You know, in rap lyrics especially, we're used to hearing kind of rags to riches stories. This is rags to cool rags.
Some more rags, yeah.
Yeah. Were you surprised that this song in particular caught on so big?
You know what? I am. I was and I still am. I mean, they're playing it on pop radio stations all over the country now. I didn't expect to have any sort of success with radio, much less Thrift Shop. I knew that it was catchy. I knew that the subject matter was fun. I thought it was going to be a very niche demographic, and that niche demographic has turned into kind of a more pop culture demographic.
And there's an interesting idea embedded in it, an idea I've written about a lot, which is that old things are perpetually these days being recycled into new, cool things, right?
Absolutely.
It's not just the thrift shop. It's a
absolutely
bigger idea.
Yeah, and like you said, it's so different than what we normally hear about. I mean, we're in hip-hop culture constantly being told to buy Louis Vuitton and buy Prada and buy this Lamborghini and buy this mansion, and it really stuck out.
The first song on this album is called 10,000 Hours, which is a reference to our friend Malcolm Gladwell's idea that it takes 10,000 hours to practice something to achieve mastery. Do you feel like that was true in your case as a rapper?
It's taken me a long time. This wasn't something that I picked up and 6 months later I was good at. It took me many, many, many years. I don't know how close I am to 10,000. I got to be close. I got to be somewhere close to it. But yeah, I think that it comes down to dedication. And I really had that at an early age. This is the only thing that I did. I kind of gave up sports. I gave up really a social life to work on music.
And when you were, let's say, at hour 400 or 500, were you aware that, like, I'm not good enough yet?
I had a mom that was really good at lying to me. So she would, anything that I did was, oh, my
You're
God,
great,
that's so amazing. Yeah. And I had no idea how horrible I was. And I was horrible.
And were there points along the way, you were not an overnight success, where you felt like chucking it and trying to, you know, get your teaching credentials?
Yeah, I was close. More so than anything, it came down to drugs and alcohol. And that was my real barrier in terms of being successful. I always had this faith that if I can get sober for long enough, I can make an album. And with that album, I will be able to live off of this album.
I want to play a little bit of your song, Awake, which is two words, awake. My subconscious telling me stop it. This is an issue that you shouldn't get involved in. Don't even tweet RIP Trayvon Martin. Don't want to be that white dude, million man marching. Fighting for a freedom that my people stole. Don't want to make all my white fans uncomfortable. But you don't even have a fucking song for radio. While you out here talking race, trying to say the fucking globe. Don't get involved if the cause isn't mine. White privilege, white guilt at the same damn time. So we just party like it's 1999. Celebrate the ignorance while these kids keep dying. So that's tough. Does that make your white fans uncomfortable?
Race is a tricky issue. And it's something that I have really tried to delve into. acknowledging my white privilege, acknowledging where, you know, a large portion of my fan base comes from, and trying to break it down. It's holding myself accountable in terms of the music that I'm making now, because I know how to make a pop song. I know how to make a song that's going to make people dance. I know how to make, how to write lyrics that don't challenge the listener or myself at all. Those songs can be really fun to write, but there's bigger issues at hand, and I want to delve into those. Those are more important in terms of cultural moments, defining like what this means to be alive in 2012 and taking an analytical approach. That's who I want to be.
Ben Haggerty, it was a real pleasure talking to you. Thanks for coming into Studio 360.
Thank you so much for having me.
Macklemore's record is called The Heist. He and his producer Ryan Lewis are on tour right now, and you can hear him talk about how he ended up with the name Macklemore and see the video for his hit Same Love on our website, studio360.org.
I hope the guy decides to talk through them. If the people decide to walk with them, regardless of pitchfork, cosigns, I'll jump. Make sure the sound man doesn't block the drums. Let the snare knock the air right out of your lungs. And those words be the oxygen. Just breathe, amen. Regardless, I'ma say it. Felt like I got signed the day that I got an agent. Got an iTunes check, man, I'm parent. About damn time that I got out of my basement. About damn time I got around the country and I hit these stages. I was made to slay them. 10,000 hours, I'm so damn close, I can taste it. Also, Malcolm Gladwell, David Bowie meets Kanye. This is dedication. A life lived for art has never a life wasted. 10,000.